Please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. And the title of my sermon, if you saw in the bulletin, is For the New Year, Resolve to Serve the Lord. And, you know, this is one of those sermons where, well, maybe I should give this to the Sunday morning crowd. You know, it's a different crowd, it's a different atmosphere and everything. But then I thought, no, I think it'd be good for tonight. Because look at the crowd that Joshua was speaking to. This is with the Sunday night crowd, so to speak. These people knew about serving the Lord. Who are these people that he's talking to at the end of his life? Okay, these are the people who were 19 years old or maybe 20 years old and younger in Egypt. They've been through 40 years of the wilderness, and they've been through 7 years of wars in the land of Canaan. So they're, you know, in their 50s and 60s and so on, and they've witnessed the plagues on Egypt. They saw the Lord split open the Red Sea. They saw all his miracles in providing for them during those 40 years. They saw how he helped them conquer the land in 7 years, fighting against people who were giants. But he still told them, you need to serve the Lord. And so sometimes even us who do serve the Lord, we just need to hear it again. We need to be reminded, serve the Lord. And so I thought I would look at Joshua 24 here, Joshua's last recorded speech found in the Bible. And what he had done is he knows his days are numbered. He's at the end of his life. And he gathers all Israel together and all the leaders. And he outlined for them what God has done for them, starting with the calling of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, or modern Iraq, and how God had been with him, and how God had brought Israel out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, and how they had conquered the land of Canaan. He reminds them of all those things. He reminded them of their history of divine grace and mercy, how God has always been with them, and therefore he urged them to serve the Lord and to serve him alone. The part of his speech that I want to consider tonight is verses 14 through 24, where he is urging them, he's actually having some dialogue with them about serving the Lord. Okay, so number one, I want you to notice this in verse 14, is that here's where he just tells them to serve the Lord. And he said, now therefore, based upon everything he's just said, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, the Euphrates, and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord because of what he's done for you. That was verses 1 through 13. And fear God. You know, the New Testament tells us the same thing. Peter said, fear God. That's 1 Peter 2:17. And you just heard Revelation 14. John saw this angel flying up in heaven, and he said with a loud voice, fear God and give the glory to him. And sometimes people will say, well, that was an Old Testament thing. We're not supposed to fear God in the New Testament. Oh, I just gave you two New Testament passages. Yes, we are to fear God. Moreover, the reasons for fearing God are still the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Hebrews 13:8 affirms that for us. He was way more magnificent than Israel. He could provide them with everything they needed, or he could withhold it. He could bless them, or he could curse them. And isn't that true with us today? So we still need to fear God. Joshua also, though, said to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Isn't that how God blesses us? God loves us and he provides for us. And he does it sincerely and he does it in truth. Is it too much for him then to turn around and say, I want you now to serve me in sincerity and in truth? Well, of course it's not too much. That's how he interacts with us. So he wants us to interact with him in the same way. He wants us to do it, not just because he said to do it, but because we want to do it. And we want to do it in the way that he said. He's my Father. I want to please him. What do I need to do to please you, Father? You know, that's the attitude that he wants us to come across with. Also, Joshua said to Israel to put away the gods, which their fathers, that would be people before Abraham, served on the other side of the river, over in, you know, across the Euphrates, and that you served in Egypt. Now, he says, put them away, as though they're still doing it. They are still, whether it's in heart or literally in, you know, with having an idol with them, they're still doing it. Which, I mean, that blows my mind. How could they possibly be doing those things after what he has done? I mean, like in Egypt. Why would you consider serving any of the gods of Egypt when the 10 plagues were designed to show how powerless, excuse me, the gods of Egypt were? The gods of Egypt could not contend with the true God, Yahweh God. And yet we still want to serve them. Or maybe they had picked up some gods along the way in the land of Canaan as they're fighting. Well, their gods didn't help them too much. Why would you want to serve them? So serve God. Put away those foreign gods. False gods are those things that people believe will make their life what they want it to be. Why do we serve God? Why do we love him? Because we believe he has the power to bless us. We believe he has the power to control the direction of our lives. And really, if you go to the dictionary, that's what the dictionary definition is of a god. And you can apply that same definition to an idol. Why does someone worship an idol? Because they believe if they worship it and they appease it and sacrifice to it and so on, that it has the power to bless them, to alter the course of their lives and so on. Okay, well, obviously the gods of this world are not able to do that. So it might be an image that you fall down before, like how Israel often did, or it might be something in the spirit. Colossians 3:5 says that covetousness is idolatry. How could covetousness be idolatry? Well, what does it mean to covet? Why do we covet? I want that, whatever it is, I covet it because I believe that now if I have it, I'll be happy. And my life will be blessed. And the course of my life will change for the better, not for the worse. That's why covetousness can be idolatry. Philippians 3:19. And now I'll confess, this is something that I struggle with. And I pray about it all the time. Paul said that some people make their belly their God. So when I'm praying for God, or praying to God, you know, I ask him about self-control, especially when it comes to eating. Dear God, help me to have self-control. And I said, help me to crucify the belly God. Because I need to do that. I don't want my own belly, my own body, to be my God. Matthew 6, Jesus said that money in our minds can compete with God. That's probably the one that, you know, most people have a problem with, isn't it? We build our hopes on money rather than on the Lord. So the point is that almost anything can become a god in our lives. And when it does, Joshua would say, put it away. Obviously, some things you can't put away. Like what I was just talking about, eating, overeating. You have to eat. But it doesn't hurt to fast once in a while to seek to gain self-control. So maybe even there's something that we can't literally take out of our lives, but we may need to stay away from it for a bit and pray to the Lord about it endlessly during that time, relentlessly, that He may help us to gain self-control and not worship something that's something other than Him. So, therefore, Joshua urged the people, serve the Lord. Now, verse 15. He asked them, is it evil to serve the Lord? And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, does it seem evil to you to serve the Lord? After what Joshua, and I know I didn't read verses 2 through 13, and I just kind of gave you a little summary of it, but when he reminded them of their history and how God had blessed them, and they knew it, as you'll see here in a few moments, how could they ever think it's evil to serve the Lord? Yet, what does the history of Israel show? They often thought it was evil to serve the Lord. And so they would put Him away and embrace the gods of the people who were around them. Or in particular, the Amorites and the Canaanites, the people who were still in the land that they did not completely wipe out as the Lord had told them to do. So does it seem evil to us today to serve the Lord? I mean, do we realize how God has blessed us? We have a tendency, when we think about how God has blessed us, to think about the body or our country that we live in. And there's blessings there. I don't want to take away from that. But I would encourage you to think first of the Spirit. How has God blessed you in the Spirit? And then there's the material things. Psalm 103 is wonderful for this, because the psalmist is speaking to himself. And he reminds himself not to forget the Lord's benefits. And then he lists a few. And watch what he says. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's like he's looking in a mirror. And forget not all His benefits. Here they are. Here are some of them. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, that's a good place to start right there. Start serving the Lord by reciting that as your prayer to God. And then just keep adding to the list. And if you have to, because if you really do that, if you do what I'm encouraging you to do here, a lot of things are going to pop into your head. And I would make two columns. One for the things of the Spirit and the other for the things of the body. And just remind yourself of how God has blessed you in both areas of your life. So Joshua told the people, if it does seem evil to you, choose whom you will serve. If you're not going to serve the Lord, who are you going to serve? If you're not going to serve the Lord, what are you going to do? Now that I'm a Christian, I just can't imagine doing anything else. I was, obviously, at one time. You, before you were serving the Lord, you were doing something else. But can you imagine just saying, you know what, I've had it with you, Jesus, and walking away from Him and going back to do what you were doing before? And maybe you say, well, Don, I wasn't living a bad life before. Okay. Maybe you were living a good life and you were trying to be a good person. But if you're not serving the Lord, then who or what are you serving? Self, maybe? Or someone? Or what is it? If we turn away from the Lord, well, Peter says in 2 Peter 2, it's like a dog returning to its vomit and eating it again. Now, isn't that a pretty sight? You've seen dogs do that. And there's some other things that they eat, too. And then I give them my ice cream cone. Well, let's forget, it's not going that far. But, you know, he says that's what it's like to the Lord. It's bad. So, how futile is it to serve any kind of false god? Like money. I think that's a big one for a lot of people. Are we going to serve money that at any moment can vanish away? Solomon, who was exceedingly wealthy, once said, you know, don't set your eyes on wealth, because it'll be like a bird and just suddenly it flies away and it's gone. For those of you in my Bible class on Sunday mornings, when we get to Lamentations 4, you're going to see that. That's what we'll be looking at next Lord's Day. Jeremiah is going to say, here's all the good stuff we had, and now here's what it's like. And it happened quickly. It didn't take 100 years to happen. Everything's going well until Babylon arrived, and in a short time, Babylon changed their lives dramatically. Are we going to serve the flesh, which grows old and weak? Are we going to serve the various philosophies that man has invented, which change constantly? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verses 16 through 18. Serve the Lord for what He has done for you. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Well, amen. Brother and sister Israelite, I'm glad that Israel was repulsed by the idea of forsaking the Lord after all that He had done for them. And they were repulsed by the idea of serving any other god. And the people repeated back to Joshua some of what he had said to them. We're going to serve the Lord. Far be it from us that we will turn our backs on Him after He's done these things. And they listed them there. You saw that. And we should do the same thing. We should remember what the Lord has done for us. I mean, we took the Lord's Supper this morning. Why did we do that? Well, I think a long time ago, this communion table used to be down there, didn't it? I've seen pictures, and Don Michael would be standing way back here preaching. And I don't think I would like to be way back here either. I can understand why you changed it, but, you know, for the most part, you can't see what's here on the front of the communion table. It says, in remembrance of me. Well, in remembrance of what? In remembrance of who? Well, Jesus, of course. But in particular, you know what it's about. God gave Him a body. He, in turn, used that body to serve God and to serve man. And then when it came time, He gave up that body in a violent death. So His blood was spilled. So you know what we do. We eat the bread to remind us of how He gave His body, and we drink the fruit of the vine to remind us of how He died a violent death and shed His blood for us. So, why then would I stop serving someone who did such a wonderful thing? Okay, I've used myself as an example for this before. What would you think of me if my mother, after having given me a kidney, I ignored her or was even cruel to her? I'm sure you wouldn't think very well of me, and you would be right in doing so. I hope you would sit down with me and tell me, Don, you're really doing something wrong here. But that's how it is when people forget the Lord. Isn't it? I mean, He opened up the way into heaven for us. So we should remember Him for that. So the people affirmed, as you saw, that they would serve the Lord. And you did the same thing when you were converted to Christ. When you made the decision, I now see that Jesus is Lord. And you made that confession. And you turned your life around. And why were you baptized? Well, Paul said in Romans chapter 6 that you were dead. So, what do we do with dead people? We bury them. But we can all praise the Lord that whoever baptized us didn't leave us down in the water. They brought us back up again. And now we're walking in newness of life with the Lord. So right there, we made the decision. We made the commitment. Lord, I am going to serve you. All right, 19 through 20. Watch what Joshua says now. Pretty amazing. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God, he is a jealous God, he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." Now, how would you like a speaker to be up here and say, "You cannot serve the Lord"? Well, I'm going to say it. You cannot serve the Lord. And if you brought somebody, you're thinking, why did I bring them in tonight? Because we expect to hear a speaker encouraging us to serve the Lord. And he's doing that. But he is driving home just what a serious matter this is. This is not a game. He said, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is holy." Don't think that you can serve him and other gods at the same time. It won't work. He said, "God, if you do that, God will not forgive you of your sins." And he even said, he'll turn around and consume you, even after he's done good things for you. So I see what Joshua's doing. You may have had someone do this to you before. Like if you've been on a sports team, and maybe the coach told you, "You can't do that." Well, what did you want to do? You want to show them, "Yes, I can." And it just made your resolve stronger. I can do that. And I think that's what Joshua's doing to the people here, and that's why God wanted this in the Bible, so that we'll read it, and we'll be thinking, "Yes, I can. I can serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord." It just makes us more determined. And he said, God is jealous and unforgiving. He is a jealous God. He is the only true and living God, making all others imposters. And he, of course, knows that he alone is responsible for our existence and our blessings or in our benefits that Psalm 103 mentioned. Therefore, it's utter foolishness to ascribe creatorship to something else. You know, what is jealousy? Jealousy is where you demand exclusive loyalty. And does God demand exclusive loyalty from us? Yes. He's loyal to us. He wants us to be loyal to Him. Now, on the other hand, He is very forgiving. We know that. We know that if a person repents, that He'll forgive. He's super generous with His forgiveness. I mean, how many times has He forgiven you in your life? You know, I was baptized back in 1976, and He still has to keep forgiving me. Isn't that true with you? How generous and graceful and merciful is our God. So Joshua told Israel that if they forsook God, he would do them harm, even after he had done them good. And so the people heard that, and now this is what takes place next in 21 through 23. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him." And he said, "We are witnesses," or they said, "and we are witnesses. Now therefore," he said, "put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel." So listen to their determination to serve the Lord, even after hearing how serious of a matter it is to serve the Lord. The people said, "We're still willing to serve Him. We are going to serve Him. We are determined to serve Him. And Joshua, you can't turn us away from that either." And so he said, "All right, your determination is a witness against you. Don't fall back on your prior commitment to Him." And it's not always easy to serve the Lord, is it? Because I think the devil sees that we've made that determination, and that sets us up as a target in his eyes. Of course, the devil goes after humanity anyways, whether you serve the Lord or not. So why not just go ahead and serve the Lord in the process? Don't think that he's just going to give up on you. Oh, the devil, he's not going to bother with me now because I'm one of his. Well, he still hates humanity. You're still a creation of God, and he hates God, therefore he hates you. And he's going to make sure that you stay down, that you stay low, and that you stay in your sin. So anyways, Joshua said to put away those foreign gods and to incline their hearts to serve the Lord. Because everything begins in the heart, doesn't it? Jesus taught that sin begins in the heart. Well, serving God also begins in the heart. God knows that we're going to sin. God knew that Israel would sin. Even these very people who are standing before Joshua. But what was the inclination of their hearts? Was it to rebel? Was it like, okay, I'll do what Joshua says, but I really wish I was serving this God or doing whatever. God can see our hearts. He knows how they're inclined. And his heart is inclined toward us. He wants our hearts to be inclined toward him. So we have to make up our mind for all time that I'm going to serve the Lord. So I fill myself up with the Lord, and then I do as Joshua urged the people, and I serve the Lord. Verse 24, and the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So we have to be like Joshua. I mean, excuse me, the people, well, Joshua too, but also the people he's talking to. Be firm about serving the Lord your God. Be firm about serving Jesus. There's going to be temptations along the way that will make you want to cease worshiping the Lord and serving him. So are you sure that you really want to serve the Lord? Will you continue to remember him during times of prosperity? That's a lot of times when people forget about God. It's because things are going really good. Will I run to him during times of adversity? Sometimes people think, that's not right of me to come running back to him when times are tough. Well, okay, you should always be faithful to him. But if it takes adversity to turn your heart around and go back to him, then he'll let it happen. I think he does whatever it takes to wake us up spiritually and that we might serve him. And be firm, finally, about obeying his voice. Beware of someone telling you that you don't have to obey the Lord. Make sure that you're always doing what the Lord says, because it's absolutely essential to serving him. How can we serve him but not obey him? The two go together. So I would urge you, brethren, you know, of course start today, but my sermon's designed for your life in 2020. Please just give serious thought. I know a lot of times people make resolutions and they're really good, you know, during the first couple of weeks of January, and then we kind of fade out. But would you please, I beg of you, resolve either to continue serving the Lord or to increase serving the Lord or just to start serving him in the first place. He has blessed you. He has done everything perfectly, including blessing us at the right time. Should he not receive our service now? My heart. Should I not incline my heart towards him? I truly believe, based upon what the scriptures teach, that if you do that, you will gain more than you could ever possibly imagine in ways that you never imagined. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, Paul just stumbles all over himself, emphasizing just how God is able, he just goes beyond anything that we could ever think or dream of in blessing us with power or whatever it is he wants to bless us with. Just focus on that and he'll take care of you from there. If we can help you tonight, pray for you or whatever it is, come forward now as we stand and sing.